wired, not wired to operate under the same old politics as usual. I promised that 4 years ago, and I meant it. That's not what is best for Alaska at this time.
Alaska Governor Sarah Palin announces she is resigning. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Friday, the 3rd of July. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, reaction from across the state.
I'm just sort of in shock that a politician of this stature would quit.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by GrantStation, your fast track to funding, on the web at grantstation.com, serving Alaskan organizations for over 10 years. And by the Rasmussen Foundation, partnering with Alaska's nonprofits and people to improve the quality of life throughout our state. Learn more at rasmussen.org. Award-winning news to get you out of bed in the morning. The Alaska Morning News and the Alaska Economic Report bring you the information you need for the day.
It was a shocking announcement this morning from Governor Sarah Palin. Standing at her home with her family and many of her cabinet members, the governor said she will step down. The governor said she has no interest in being a lame duck candidate.
As I thought about this announcement that I wouldn't run for re-election and what that means for Alaska, I thought about, well, how much fun some governors have as lame ducks. They maybe travel around their state, travel to other states, maybe take their overseas international trade missions. So many politicians do that. And then I thought, that's what's wrong. Many just accept that lame duck status and they hit the road, they draw a paycheck, they kind of milk it, and I'm not going to put Alaskans through that. I promised efficiencies and effectiveness. That's not how I'm wired. I'm not wired to operate under the same old politics as usual. I promised that 4 years ago, and I meant it. That's not what is best for Alaska at this time.
Even Palin's staff was taken by surprise. Palin's director of communication, David Murrow, says he found out a couple of days before the announcement.
I was surprised. I was shocked when the governor told me. I had to sit down. It was a real surprise to me. But I think the state's in good hands with Lieutenant Governor Parnell. He's fully ready to assume the governor's role, and which he will be doing July 26th in Fairbanks.
Lieutenant Governor Parnell was at the governor's home for the announcement. He says it was Wednesday night when she told him of her decision. Parnell says his heart is heavy about her announcement.
But because of the circumstances that have led to this and for the personal sacrifice that the governor and her family have made, you know, it's a transition point for Alaska. And I think this governor has been very good to and for Alaskans, and I'm sorry to see her go.
Palin did not take questions from reporters following her announcement, and Sean Parnell says her written statement lays it all out.
Her reasons for doing this are very clear in her statement, and I think if you were here, you would see a governor at peace with her decision, and she is, she's given very clear reasons why in that statement.
But concrete reasons in Palin's statement are glaring in their absence. The text, now posted on the state's website, is a long missive about the importance of not doing politics as usual and that she looks forward to helping others in the state and country. There is not a clear indication within the statement as to whether that means she will run for president in 2012. Palin is the subject of a lengthy and damaging article that just came out in Vanity Fair magazine. APRN's Dave Donaldson says a sitting governor resigning is not without precedent in Alaska, but it's highly unusual.
I think that the closest thing to it would have probably been when Wally Hickel, his first term, resigned and to become Richard Nixon's Secretary of the Interior. We have had other surprising events. For example, in Wally Hickel's second term, he did not run, and he had a big announcement that he would not run for re-election. That threw the political system, the political world, into a bit of a tizzy at the moment. But one like this one with the national implications involved in it, no, there's never been anything like this.
It appears that there was little notice. Lieutenant Governor Parnell says he was told Wednesday evening when she spoke to him in her office. Have you talked to anyone who had any sort of prior inkling that something like this may be coming?
Nobody that knew or even could have guessed it. They could have guessed it. there were a few people who did see that she was making an announcement, that it was coming from her home, that it was coming from her being made through her official government press office. And also we're looking at the fact that she's canceling some events for next week, and we're saying she's not going to be governor. She's going to resign. And it was more speculation than anything, but it turns out that they were correct. And the fact is that it was just a matter of to have had any knowledge of it. No, nobody had any inside knowledge on it.
Her statement on the state's website, it's quite lengthy. She says she's taking her fight for what's right in a new direction. Do you think that means that she's making a move toward a presidential run, or is this a step away from it?
Take it both ways. I think that it could go either way. It's interesting to note that the group that's been giving her the biggest publicity support has been Sarah Pack, which is still, as far as we know, still active, and also this Conservatives for Palin website. Conservatives for Palin put up a notice this afternoon, said that it's irrelevant whether she runs for governor, president, or any other office, and if she were to retire, we would still support her. The fact is, it leaves her open for anything that she chooses, and I think that she's leaving herself open to continue, and it may be a part of a conservative draft Palin movement within the Republican Party, or she can legitimately say, I did not go out to get the presidential nomination. I chose not. I mean, she can make it however she wants it to sound.
And what about Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell? He will be stepping up on July 26th now to take over as governor. What kind of a man is the lieutenant governor, and what kind of a governor will he be, do you think?
Sean Parnell will be a lot more methodical, a lot more gubernatorial than Sarah Palin. It was very obvious to those of us who covered her from her very beginning, from her inauguration on, is that she enjoyed being governor, but she did not enjoy governing. Sean Parnell is pretty much the opposite of that, and I think that the recent complaints that Sarah Palin is not paying attention to Alaska, those will be drowned out for Parnell. The fact is that he takes advice, he talks to staff, he is very much involved, and you pretty much can expect there's not going to be any surprises from him. Whereas with Sarah Palin, her staff frequently would have to go in and they did not know what she had done, said, or something. So I think that Parnell will be a very known quantity.
That was APRN State Capitol correspondent Dave Donaldson in Juneau. The Alaska congressional delegation was scattered around the country on the start of the holiday weekend. Senator Mark Begich's press secretary, Julie Haskett, says they had no prior knowledge of her decision, learning of it when the news broke this morning.
The senator actually met with Governor Palin in her Anchorage office for 45 minutes on Wednesday, where they talked about a variety of Alaska issues, the gas line, missile defense, climate change legislation, and she gave no indication of a resignation. So he, like the rest of us, was quite surprised today.
Haskett says Senator Begich looks forward to working with Sean Parnell and believes there will be no disruption in state business.
And if everybody just stays on track and doesn't get derailed by this announcement and just continues to work on the many important issues facing Alaska, I think we'll just plow on ahead. Senator Begich is very focused on all of the Alaska issues. He has no plans on changing course. Just continue to work every day for our state and all the important things going on here.
APRN's Washington correspondent Libby Casey joins us now. Libby, what's the reaction among the rest of the delegation?
Definitely surprise, Lori. They did not have a heads up. The office of Congressman Young says he's out with his family taking advantage of the vacation weekend, and so he's not made a comment on it. But he does know, because earlier today there was a question of whether Congressman Young had even found out since he's out and about. Senator Lisa Murkowski is, according to her staff, at a remote cabin in Alaska with her family and can only be reached by satellite phone. Her staff does plan to talk with her this evening, but they're waiting to put out a reaction statement until they do touch base with the senator. Her chief of staff, however, says Senator Murkowski did not get a heads up on Governor Palin's decision, nor did Congressman Young. Their offices found out, just like the rest of Alaska, through the news.
Libby, how unusual do you think it is that she didn't, that Governor Palin didn't give the Alaska congressional delegation prior notice before the public announcement?
I think we can say it is surprising, especially considering that two members of the delegation are members of the Republican Party, as is she. It may be less surprising if she made the decision not to run again, but resigning is a very big step. It's very dramatic. And Governor Palin has a Washington, D.C. office here in the near the Capitol, and her D.C. staff works very closely with the staffs of the delegation. They're in regular contact, dealing with all kinds of issues, all kinds of everything from constituent issues to big legislative issues. So there is a lot of open communication there. It is indeed surprising. This is a major announcement that will affect both the Republican Party as well as politics as a whole in the state.
Well, it's the day before a holiday. Have you been able to get any reaction from other congressional members in D.C.?
Washington is quiet. People are out in their home states, their home districts, especially as we get ready to go into the 4th of July here. The news is just everywhere, and there's chatter all over the place. The cable news networks, the national, international news is really all over this. I mean, we have to remember, it's not just people in Alaska who care about what the governor does. The New York Times has this as their top story, the Washington Post. So there's a lot of chatter, but not necessarily from other Republicans or other political figures, because a lot of them are lying low. And I think a lot are also waiting to see where this is going. Why has Governor Palin really made this decision? Will we find that out in the next couple of days? I'm on Twitter, and I get Twitter feeds from a variety of politicians, from Senator Claire McCaskill to Senator John McCain, and none of them have said anything about it yet. Senator McCain's talking about 4th of July plans. He's not commenting on Twitter about Governor Palin. Next week, things will ramp up in Washington. We have a very busy month ahead of legislative work, and so I think there will be a lot of talk next week as people return here and speculate on exactly what is Governor Palin's plan, what does she intend to do next, and will she be a player on the national stage?
That was APRN's Washington correspondent Libby Casey. Alaskans who have either announced or are mulling a run for governor in 2010 reacted with surprise today. Anchorage businessman and former state administrator Bob Poe is vying for the Democratic nomination for governor and has been a candidate since January. He says he decided to run because he felt the governor was no longer focused on Alaska after her run for vice president.
At that time, I basically said that Governor Palin had been out of state and out of touch. And from my point of view, what Governor Palin has done today is sort of do the right thing and say, well, I am focused on other things and I need to get out of the way here.
Democratic Senator Hollis French says Palin's announcement is upsetting. He says it's un-Alaskan to quit in the middle of a term. French has filed a letter of intent for a possible run in 2010, but hasn't yet decided.
Well, you know, I'm filed my letter of intent because I was moving in that direction, and I still haven't come to a final decision. I'll make that announcement, but clearly, you know, there's going to be a competitive race, and I'm interested, and so I'm obviously very much pointing in that direction.
Republican Representative and former House Speaker John Harris says this clarifies his position as a candidate.
My intentions were not to run directly against the governor, but to run for lieutenant governor if the governor ran. And since the governor's not running, I'm going to run for governor.
Palin's statement says Lieutenant General Craig Campbell, Commissioner of Military and Veterans Affairs, will take the lieutenant governor position when Sean Parnell becomes governor at the end of the month. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, more reaction, and American Legion Post 1 joins the July 4th parade for its 90th year of service.
You just felt, like you belonged. It's a good feeling.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station. The University of Alaska now offers both a Bachelor of Science and a Bachelor of Arts degree in fisheries. Fisheries students work directly with professionals in their field and enjoy hands-on learning through internships and research. Learn more at www.uaf.edu/fish. The UAF School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences, educating fisheries and marine science experts in Alaska for Alaska. This message sponsored by the UAF School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences.
Homer Representative Paul Seaton's reaction to today's announcement that Governor Palin will be resigning was one of surprise. Seaton says he didn't see the news coming.
I can understand that there are other opportunities out there, and she's accomplished a lot of her major proposals to date. So, I mean, it's understandable, but I had no heads up on it.
Seaton speculates that Palin might be looking to get into broadcasting, where other politicians like former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee have had some success.
I think that there's a big opportunity for her to pursue, you know, her own personal conservative agenda in another format. But I don't know that I have no inside information that that's going to occur. But I mean, we've heard that for, you know, months that people would thought she would have a great opportunity and be a really good host.
Seaton says he has a good working relationship with Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell, who will succeed Palin later this month. Speaker of the House Mike Chenault from Nikiski says neither the governor nor her staff had given any indication that she was considering this decision.
Well, it was interesting. Certainly, I hadn't expected her to resign. I figured, you know, she may make an announcement on what her political future was, but certainly not to resign. And so just trying to take it in now and determine what's going on. You know, we know that we'll be dealing with soon-to-be Governor Parnell and trying to figure out how that affects not only the legislative priorities, but also the priorities of the state.
Chenault says he gets along well with Palin and with Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell, but he says he hopes there is one change after the Palin administration.
Where it didn't seem like you could ever go to a commissioner and get an answer to an issue unless you talked with the governor. And, you know, my hope is that Parnell has enough faith in his department heads that he assigns to those positions that they can make decisions when those decisions need to be made.
Chenault says he had expected Palin to finish her term before deciding her future. He says he will need some time to think about what the change will mean for Alaska politics. Chenault says he has no plans himself to run for the governor's seat, but likely will run for re-election for his House seat in 2010. Another Republican in the House of Representatives, Kurt Olson of Soldotna, says he also was surprised at the news this morning.
I was shocked that she left early. I had the feeling that she would probably not be running again, that she had higher ambitions and that she would be devoting her time to campaigning for the presidency. I was really surprised that she stepped down midterm.
Despite a few disagreements on policy, Olson says he has agreed with Palin and worked well with her. While Palin has not said she will be running for president, people including Olson speculate that she could. He thinks Palin was treated badly in the presidential race last year.
It will be interesting. I think she got beat up pretty badly, and I think a portion of it was probably undeserved during the last cycle. And I don't know if it was because she was a woman or because she was viewed as a threat, but I think that she was put under more scrutiny than we've ever had a vice presidential candidate put under. Having the misfortune to look just like Tina Fey didn't help.
Olson thinks if Palin were to run for president, that staying in office might have been beneficial.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by the Doyon family of companies working together to build Alaska's future. And by Penn Air, operating since 1955 and providing 9 destinations with service to 36 communities throughout Southwest Alaska. Reservations and rates online at pennair.com.
Alaska Senate President Gary Stevens says he didn't hear a word from the governor's office before her news conference.
I'm just sort of in shock that a politician of this stature would quit.
Stevens says he believes something is going on behind the scenes, but wouldn't speculate other than to say that he doesn't think the governor is resigning due to intense media scrutiny or criticism that she's received since rising to the national stage.
I just suspect that there's another shoe out there to drop, and in time we will learn what the real reason is. I just, knowing Sarah and working with the governor in the past for the past 2 years, she's such a strong person. I just can't imagine that that all of these nitpicky little things that have happened to her would be enough for her to quit. That doesn't make any sense to me personally.
Stevens added that the state will have to move on, and he thinks Parnell will do a good job as governor. Peggy Wilson, Sitka's state representative in Juneau, was helping out with downtown activities in Juneau when a friend called to tell her the news. The Republican legislator said she was surprised by Palin's announcement, but said she is confident in the leadership abilities of Lieutenant Governor Parnell.
The Lieutenant Governor has got good experience, and he has worked well with the legislature before, so I'm not concerned that it's not going to be in good hands. I think we will be in good hands.
Sitkins were enjoying warm weather and funnel cakes at the annual 4th of July festival when news broke out about Governor Palin's announcement. In this town, in Sitka, split between Democrats and Republicans, support for Palin has been low since her run for vice president last year. But today, reactions in Sitka ranged from shock to disappointment and anger that the governor will be stepping down at the end of the month.
She'd wait and serve out her term. I mean, quitting the job early to get ready to run for presidency. What's she going to do when she becomes president? Quit the job early for something better? There's got to be a financial reason behind it. Whether or not she's getting money so that she can accept money elsewhere, there's got to be financial reasons behind it.
Boy, it's a mixed bag. You know, aside from everything, she has always been, I think, a great governor of the state of Alaska. I wasn't real excited when she ran for vice president of the country, but I honestly can't blame her for resigning just based on everything that she's been pulled through. And as a woman, I'd be done myself.
Kind of shocked. Actually, it's the first time we ever had a governor resign that I know of. I wish she hadn't have done it. And it's not because I'm all that fond of Sarah Palin as a politician. She was bad for southeastern Alaska, but I think it's a bad precedent.
Like communities across the nation, Anchorage embraces the 4th of July with a bevy of traditions. One of the oldest for the city is the parade, which again this year features Anchorage's American Legion Post 1. Post 1 has not only participated every year, it created the parade. KSKA's Len Anderson reports.
We're American Legion Jack Henry Post Number 1. Our post has been around since 1919. We were created on September 19th. 1919.
As Post historian, Scott Harden enjoys pointing out that date is a mere 4 years after Anchorage itself came into existence and a good 40 years prior to statehood.
76 men gathered at the Moose Hall and signed and ratified the original charter, the temporary charter.
The next year, 1920, Jack Henry Post I organized the first 4th of July parade. It sponsored the parade until the mid-80s, when rising costs forced the Post to ask the municipality to share the responsibility. That's why Anchorage's current parade is divided into two components, the municipality and the veterans. The 1920 date means this year's float marks the Post's 89th consecutive appearance in the parade. Of the approximately half-dozen American Legion posts in Anchorage, Post 1 is the log and block structure on Fireweed Lane, its location ever since the early 1960s. The 4th of July parade is hardly the only intertwining of post and community history. Pursuing his 90-year post history, Harden found dozens of boxes containing pictures, documents, and minutes going back to the very first meetings. He's now compiling a post officer list along with a general membership roll.
Our first female legionnaire was a woman by the name of Florence Knopp. In order to be a legionnaire, she has to have been active duty. So she was a nurse, and she joined the post in October of 1921.
Harden says through the 1950s, the post was an integral part of Anchorage's social and civic life. There are accounts of an early band that toured other communities, Thursday and Friday dances, beginning in 1925, a Boy Scout troop, baseball games, housing and job assistance for veterans, and even the responsibility for the contest to select the state's flag. Hardin has found some of the entries. But not all of Post One's history is found in documents and photographs.
There was five of us brothers went into war. Three of us went in the Pacific and two went to Europe. We had the privilege of making it back home without deadness.
Sarge Leonard Plum is an 88-year-old veteran of World War II. There are several others. Sarge made the military his career, mustering out in the mid-1960s. He says one attraction for joining Post One was community regard.
The people highly respect him. Due to the situation of the war and then that earthquake problem happened, the Legion was helping him.
Hardin says perhaps the Post's greatest service came after the Good Friday earthquake of March 27, 1964.
As people came to the post, it dawned on them that people were going to be looking for family members. So when they came in, they signed in a logbook that they were here. And if they left, they had to sign out saying where they were going. And we have those books still. And not only that, we have the records of how many meals they served, how many people were actually living here at the post.
If Post One no longer occupies the key role it once had in the life of the community, it continues to be highly important for members like Sarge.
I never had the military wore out on me. I never had it happen. I was both military and civilian in my life, you know.
That's an attitude which current Post One commander Jim Grant shares.
You just felt like you belonged. It's a good feeling that there's these people reaching out to the communities, to their federal veterans, to the state and to the nation. That's what makes us who we are. Once you've got that in your blood, it doesn't go away.
And it's that enduring bond among the members, past and present, that really underlies this year's 4th of July float theme, proclaiming 50 years of statehood, but 90 years as an American Legion post. This is Len Anderson.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at APRN.org. We had audio help tonight from station KTUU in Anchorage. We had reports tonight from Ben Stanton in Kenai, Casey Kelly in Homer, Rosemarie Alexander in Juneau, Shalise Haas in Sitka, and Len Anderson in Anchorage. APRN's Libby Casey reported from Washington, D.C., Dave Donaldson from Juneau, and Steve Heimel from Anchorage. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron. And I'm Lori Townsend. Have a great weekend.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by the Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, operating and maintaining the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. First National Bank Alaska, branches in 18 communities around the state and on the web at fnbalaska.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And by GrantStation, your fast track to funding, on the web at grantstation.com, serving Alaskan organizations for over 10 years. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Oregon has set a deadline for filing claims for anyone who suffered injury by sexual, mental, or physical abuse or misconduct by a Jesuit priest or others claiming the Society of Jesus, Oregon Providence, has some responsibility. The deadline is November 30, 2009. Proof of claim forms are available online or by calling 1-888-909-0100. This message is sponsored by the Society of Jesus, Oregon Providence.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.